Hallelujah. How to end racism. Now that I know the truth and understand that love hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, that we are all made of dirt, and that he holds in his hand our very breath and owns all our ways, and that 99.4% of all men's DNA are exactly the same. As I have realized that racism is nothing more than Satan playing with people's feelings of insecurity and inferiority, creating a desire to be better than, creating envy in that person, envy being the low-grade fever of spiritual fear. And when someone has that fever, they begin to push toward wickedness because they don't know who they are, whose they are, and where they came from, and where they are going. Not knowing. So God, so love, created them in his own image. In the image of God, of love, created he them. Male and female created he them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and every creature that crawls upon the earth. With that revelation knowledge, now every time I look at any man or woman, I see the Lord God, love, and know that I too am made in his image and after his likeness, and he has crowned me with glory and honor and made me to have dominion over the works of his hand, and has put all things under my feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever pass through the paths of the seas. And the remaining 0.6% of my DNA is the gifts that the Lord my God has given me at my conception. That makes me unique, that there cannot be another one just like me. Not superior to anybody, but unique. To be blessed and be a blessing, dispensing good to others. So how to end racism? Lord my God, Lord my love, let it begin with me. For God, love created the whole universe, the plants and animals, the dogs, the cats, the birds, after an image in himself that he had before the foundation of the world for our well-being and his good pleasure. As it is written, the fear and dread of us have fallen on all the beasts of the earth and on all the birds in the sky, on every creature that moves along the ground, and on all the fish in the sea. They are given into our hands. Everything that lives and moves about are food for us. Just as the Lord gave us the green plants, he has now given us everything. So every animal does have a soul, but it is attached to his body. And when he dies, his soul dies with his body. But when God, when love made mankind, he reproduced himself. From a chunk of his heart, God molded me in his image and after his likeness. I am another speaking spirit, just like God. I possess a soul and I live in a body. A spirit never dies. God is spirit. He is eternal. Therefore, I am eternal. I, as a spirit being, can never die, neither can my soul, for it is attached to my spirit. I am eternal, spirit and soul. And because I am saved, I will live in a glorious body just like Jesus's, that will never die. For I am the daughter of love through faith in Christ Jesus. But if human beings, though made in God's image and after his likeness, did not accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior while they were alive, their spirit will never die, and they will live in a corruptible body forever, for they have chosen to be sons and daughters of disobedience. They are of their father the devil, and the desires of their father they want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. And they will go away into eternal punishment. But the righteous, we who believe on the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, into eternal life. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the Lord God Almighty created one race, the human race. And even though, because of human beings' disobedience to the command of God Almighty in Genesis 11, 1 through 9, we were divided into tribe and tongue, people and nation, because there the Lord confused the speech of all the world. Yet, from every tribe and tongue, people and nation, God has created a new race, the church, the body of Christ, a new species of being that never existed before and will never exist again, living forever and ever through the eternities of the eternities, spirit, soul, and body, clothed, adorned in God's blessing and honor and majesty, glory, splendor, and in his power, might, and dominion. Christ is the head. We are the body. All of us, from the head to the toes, being kings and priests to serve our God, soldiers in the army of God, thinking, speaking, acting, walking, living, by believing on the name of Jesus Christ and loving each other and loving our neighbor as ourselves, charging like warriors, scaling walls like soldiers, all of us marching in line, not swerving from our course, not crowding each other, each of us marching straight ahead with the blood of Jesus going on before and standing behind us on the path of righteousness, the path that leads to the tree of life, fulfilling the calling of God on each one of our lives, in purity and holiness of hearts, in unity of faith and walking in love with each other and loving our neighbors, moving and flowing in the rhythm and sound and the movement of the Holy Spirit. By this, we, the children of God, and they, the children of the devil, can be distinguished. Thus God has given every man, woman, and child, Jews, black and white and yellow and red skin and mulatto and half-breed, equal opportunity. The choice is ours to make. We only have to receive him and walk in him. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. All things are possible for me that believe. God exists, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. so from harassment. We thank you for the protection of the Asian people who had nothing to do with the coronavirus. We also thank you, Father Love, for an end to racial profiling in the spiritual, and for an end of quote unquote black being targeted and mishandled by some police officers, and for an end of violence of quote black on black unquote. And we also thank you that people understand that the role of the police officers is to enforce the law and maintain civic order. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. In the name of Jesus, Father Love, I thank you for this multicolored creation you have given us to care for and for our enjoyment and for your good pleasure. I pray that you open the eyes of everyone who is quote-unquote black, white, brown, yellow, red, or olive to understand that we are all people of color, people of many colors, formed from the dust of the earth, made from one blood, in God's image and after his likeness, from every tribe and tongue, people and nation, and that what distinguishes us is not the color of our skin, but our faith and actions, our hearts. As it is written, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother and sister. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers over a multitude of sins. So what is racism? Racism is not a thing. Racism is a spirit. It's the spirit of division. Its work is dissension, division, and sedition. It's a work of the devil himself and the demonic emissaries he sends out to do his divisionary work. By contrast, God's work is peace, unity, harmony, and joy. Peace, I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So when I follow love, the spirit of racism, which is the spirit of division, will never be able to deceive me and spoil my house. As I understand the truth about races, I am learning to kill the root of racism and using wisdom, love, perspective, and forgiveness, I be equipped to stand against this divisive spirit. One of the seven ways I use to destroy the spirit of racism so it never has an opportunity to interfere in my life. The first one is, I understand there are only two races. For in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. God never intended for Americans to divide up every chance they get and fight each other. His dream was always for this land to be a place where all cultures and people of all backgrounds could worship him freely together. He wanted a place where people weren't divided into all kinds of different so-called races. As far as God is concerned, there are only two races on earth anyway. Those who have chosen to be a part of his family and those who haven't. From his perspective, the division between those two groups is the only division there is. He has never divided up mankind on the basis of money, clothing, culture, geography, or skin color. People began listening to the devil and came up with those divisions. He got in there and started creating havoc. God's dream is for people of all colors, black, red, white, brown, olive, and yellow, to live and glorify him together. If I doubt that, I just look at heaven. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every tribe and every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm trees in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Lord, as it is in heaven, so be it on the earth." For God's plan has always been blessing. People coming together through faith in him and prospering together as one race. And another a way that I use to destroy the spirit of racism, so it never has an opportunity to interfere in my life, is kill racism at the root. The fig tree withered from the roots. Prejudice and integration are secular words. The world has been using them for years. Governments have bent over backwards trying to deal with the problem they call prejudice, by passing integration laws and forcing people to come together. Such laws are fine as far as they go, but they've never really solved the problem. Despite the best efforts of governments and legislators, racial strife continues breaking out. "We thought we fixed this," they'll say. "So why are people still fighting?" They are still fighting because prejudice is not the root of the problem. Prejudice is the result of it. Prejudice is like the leaves on a tree. The root of the tree is the spirit of division. And integration by itself won't get rid of it. People can hate one another, sitting side by side, just the same as they can hate each other when they are on opposite sides of town. In the front of the bus or the back of the bus, hate is hate. You can allow a man to sit in the front of the bus, and the people behind him can still look at the back of his head and hate every bone in his body. So until we deal with the spirit of division, the problem will still be there. The only antidote to hate and division is love. I do kill racism at the root by renewing my mind to the love of God. I regularly speak over myself. I love. I'm patient. I am kind. I do not envy. I do not boast. I am not proud. I do not dishonor others. I am not self-seeking. I am not easily angered. I keep no record of wrongs. I love, do not delight in evil, but rejoice when with the truth. I protect always, trust always, hope always, persevere. Then I determine to always respond in love to others through my words, my actions, and prayer. When I'm walking in love, the spirit of division doesn't stand a chance. The third way I use to destroy the spirit of racism so it never has an opportunity to interfere in my life, I tap into the wisdom of God. Wisdom is the principal thing. When ethnic groups are rising up against each other and ugly things are being said and done by people all around me, it's tempting to let myself be drawn into the conflict. This is especially true when some of the ugly things being said and done are purposely directed toward my ethnicity. I can be tempted to react in the flesh and become part of the problem instead of part of the solution. How do I make sure I don't fall prey to that temptation? How can I continue being the blessing Jesus called me to be when the very people I'm trying to bless are yielding to the spirit of division and making me the targets of their racism, bigotry, or hate? Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. The word principal means first, highest, in rank, importance, or value. It indicates that when I have God's wisdom about a situation, I have the only thing that matters. When I have God's wisdom, I have something so powerful, no one and nothing in this world can keep me down. This is the reason I, as a believer, I don't have to fight and get mad at people when the spirit of division uses them to try to oppress me in some way. I can keep walking in kindness and love because I have an advantage. All I have to do is believe and do what God says, and His wisdom will protect and promote me. Hallelujah. The fourth way I use to destroy the spirit of racism so it never has an opportunity to interfere in my life, I love my neighbor. Love never fails. Racism was rampant between Jews and Samaritans in Jesus' day. The Jews viewed the Samaritans as half-breeds who were both racially and religiously inferior. The Samaritans in turn hated the Jews. The two groups detested each other so much they lived in separate parts of the country and practiced a segregated lifestyle. Jesus confronted this ungodly perspective by telling about the Good Samaritan. At the time, it was unthinkable for a Jew to consider Samaritans to be his neighbors. This, of course, was the root of the problem. Those who were prejudiced against Samaritans needed a new nature. They needed to believe in Jesus and be born again. Then they'd be able to love their neighbors, Samaritans included, as themselves. One of the many great advantages of being a born-again believer is that because love himself lives in me, I can love anyone, anywhere, at any time. I can love everyone from the beggar on the street corner to the beggar to the braggart in the corner office. After all, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Romans 5:5. I've inherited my Heavenly Father's nature. I am a loved child of a loving God, and I have inside me everything it takes to keep all His commandments. Hallelujah. The fifth way I use to destroy the spirit of racism so it never has an opportunity to interfere in my life, I see things from the other perspective. Be humble. Thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. If I'm going to bridge gaps that have been created by the spirit of division, I'll need to care enough to put myself in the other fellow's shoes and find out how he thinks, so I can be the blessing I want to be. If I don't understand how people of other skin colors or ethnicities see things, I can wind up saying and doing things that are offensive to them simply because I don't know any better. I can hurt them accidentally just because I don't understand their point of view. So such mistakes aren't unique to white people, of course. Everyone, regardless of skin color, can be offensive at times, so we shouldn't be hard on each other. If someone says something insensitive to me, I ought to believe the best and assume that person isn't intentionally trying to hurt me. Such assumptions are particularly safe in church because no born-again child of God can truly be a racist. No Christian, regardless of how he or she has been raised to think or talk about people of other races, can truly be a bigot at heart. What about people who actually say offensive things on purpose? No matter how offensive people might be, I must never, for any reason, allow myself to become offended with them. It's not worth it. By taking offense, I become a partner with them and open myself up to the work of the devil. I don't take the bait. Hallelujah. The sixth way I use to destroy the spirit of racism so it never has an opportunity to interfere in my life, I choose to forgive. But when I am praying, I first forgive anyone I am holding a grudge against, so that my Father in heaven will forgive my sins too. When it comes to winning the war against the spirit of division, forgiveness is one of the mightiest weapons in our spiritual arsenal. As a believer, I need to be using it all the time. When I choose to forgive others, it will work for me and connect me to the same supernatural power that heals, delivers, and works miracles. If I refuse or neglect to forgive people, it will work against me because my unforgiveness will choke off the operation of God's anointing, and His power will be restrained in my life. Many Christians don't seem to understand this. They have the idea that forgiveness is optional. But what if someone has hurt me so badly, I can't even stand the thought of them? What should I do? I just obey Jesus. It doesn't ask me to feel better about the person who wronged me. He commanded me to forgive them. Forgiveness isn't about feelings. It's an act of obedience. It's choosing to put God's word above my emotions by making a decision to say, I forgive. Hallelujah. The seventh way, praise the Lord, I'm the redeemed of the Lord. The seventh way I use to destroy the spirit of racism so it never has an opportunity to interfere in my life, I come into agreement. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you. The spirit behind racism, the spirit of division, is an enemy. And those of us who are members of God's family need to be constantly on guard against it, because it's doing its best to set the world on fire all around us. Worst of all, the spirit of division is targeting believers. It's trying to split up churches and separate members of the body of Christ, knowing, as Jesus put it, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Those of us who live in the United States of America especially need to wake up to this danger, because spiritual unity is one of the truths on which this nation was founded. Yet, right now, Americans are picking sides and fighting each other with startling ferocity. It's one thing when Americans disagree with the leader's decision and refuse to vote for him or her, but it's another thing when their disagreement turns to hatred. This should not be. How should we respond? Matthew 18:19 says, I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. The word agree means to make a symphony together. It refers to harmonizing with one another like instruments in an orchestra. The same is true spiritually in the body of Christ. Each of us is different, yet we're one in the spirit. We don't have to try to be one. Jesus has already made us one through what he did on the cross. When we are in harmony, the power is so strong that miracles will be done. Matthew 18:19. I'm ready for that kind of miracle power in my life. Right now, I just say out loud, spirit of division, I'm serving you notice. In the name of Jesus, that my house, my church, my neighborhood, my city are closed to you. I'll not be deceived by you anymore. From now on, I'm not moved by the differences between me and other people. I'm moved by the Spirit of God. My ministry is the ministry of reconciliation. I walk in love because God is love. Whether anyone else loves me or not is not my business. I'm going to love them because that's what He's told me to do. That's my job, and I'm going to do it. When I put these seven ways to destroy the spirit of racism into practice and take steps toward binding the spirit of division, I be doing my part to break the spirit of racism in this country. I stand for unity in my home, the church, and my nation. Now, I get ready for a new day and a new power. Divided we fall, but once we stand untied, all heaven will break loose. Amen. Hallelujah. A prayer for unity in America. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this great nation, the United States of America. I thank you that it was founded on your word and faith in you alone. I thank you that this nation is blessed because of this foundation, and we desire to continue to live under a banner of blessing through our obedience to you. Father, I know our strength as believers lies in our unity, because your word says a house divided against itself cannot stand. So today, in the name of Jesus, I come against the spirit of division and strife in the body of Christ. I cast down every attempt by the enemy to divide believers into separate groups. I refuse to accept the world view that I must be part of a group such as race, gender, class, or any other group. I am a Christian. That is where I stand. That is where I find my identity, in you and only in you. I bind up the enemy's attempts to divide me from my fellow believers, and I declare today that I will stand in the unity of faith with my brothers and sisters in Christ. If I have a difference of political opinion, I will humble myself and compare my views to the Word of God to make my final decision. Lord, help me to resist the influences of friends, family, or media that may try to sway me away from the Word of God. Help me to fill my heart and mind with the truth in your Word and stand on it, immovable, unshakable, and firm in my faith. Father, breathe a fresh wind of unity over this nation. Let your Holy Spirit dominate every area of our government, our churches, our schools, and our homes. Help us as believers to walk in love and unity together so that all may see that we are one and know the power of the one true living God. I praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessed is the United States of America, whose God is the Lord, the people who have chosen him for their inheritance. Amen. Hallelujah.